Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690. Pierre McGuire on TSN 690 is brought to you by the Dagwood Sandwich Experience. Top quality meats and cheeses, freshly baked bread, veggies in special sauce. Dagwood's, a Montreal original for over 25 years.
In St. Louis, Pierre McGuire, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And thanks for hanging in there a little bit later. We weren't sure of the travel schedule with Pierre. Jason DeVos was with us talking about the impact in Toronto FC. Here we go with Pierre, who's in St. Louis for the game tomorrow night between the Blues and the Tampa Bay Lightning. A lot of injuries around the league, including a big one there, which we'll get to, Pierre. But how about the Canadiens at 9-0, back-to-back, Buffalo and Toronto, and again, two of the lightweights around the National Hockey League, but better than a year ago. And badly outplayed on home ice Saturday night and still winning.
Well, you find a way to win when you're a good team, number one. Number two, I think this is really important, Mitch. I like the fact that the Canadiens coaching staff actually says we made mental mistakes that we usually don't make. That's a sign of a team, especially after you win, that's got huge organizational expectation. And the players know it, the coaches know it, and the management knows it. Now their fans know it. I like that, holding guys accountable, holding yourself accountable as a coach, and I'm sure he did. Now, as you said, they're on their way to the West Coast road trip starting in Vancouver, but I really like that. I remember our good teams in Pittsburgh. Even when we won ugly, guys were held accountable, whether you were a coach, whether you were a player, whether you were a trainer, and it's a big reason why we had the high standards, and I think that's a real positive thing for the Canadiens.
And now over to Subban, and he shoots, and they score! Gallagher with the redirect! What a feed! It's 5-2! Oh, head up all the way. Terrific passing, and what confidence on the power play for Montreal now.
Another good sign, Pierre, is all of a sudden that power play is rejuvenated. They're up to, I think it's ninth in the NHL at nearly 23%.
That's a big key, and you and I have talked about it, because at one point the 5-on-5 scoring will probably dry up a little bit. I mean, they've been on an amazing run, and obviously Markov's huge night on Friday night, and Subban's huge night on Friday night, Altman, and then PK came back with a tremendous game again. And it wasn't everybody that was bad for Montreal, by the way. I mean, there were some really good performances in that game Saturday night, too, starting with the goalie and moving to the defense with Subban, who I thought had a real good night. But no, you know, again, it's a long season, it's a grind, but the power play will give you a lot of confidence when you head out onto the road, and that's exactly what they're doing now.
The last week or so, it's almost like every player on the power play has got an alarm that goes off in their brain after a second and a half that says, okay, shoot or move the puck. The puck movement seems fluid. They're making the right decisions. How do you go about instituting that kind of alarm bell in every single player that's going to be used out there?
Yeah, it's a great question, because it starts in practice, but it carries over to film study and everything else. But practice is more than anything else. Just you get into sequencing in terms of what your looks are, and so that matters a ton. And one of the things I'm sure they're doing is they're getting pucks and moving them quick and moving bodies. It's not just moving the puck, you got to move bodies too. I'll give you a case in point. On the Gallagher goal, Gallagher could have been lazy and stayed behind the goal line, right? He could have been lazy, but instead he skates to the front or the side of the net to provide a target, so that he's an available target for Subban. That's you get the puck. You don't just move the puck. You got to move your body too. So that's part of the beauty of a real good power play, is the movement away from the puck. And Gallagher was a good example of that.
And one of the things Subban is doing, it's three games in a row against Detroit. Torrey Mitchell won the faceoff, went to the net. PK kind of needled the puck through a screen. He kept it low, and Mitchell pounced on a rebound. Then in Buffalo, same thing. And then on Saturday night, he sees Gallagher, and it's a purpose shot. It's not this bomb that he's winding up and who knows where the puck. It looks great when it goes in. We've talked about that before. He seems to be getting it back there.
You know, it's funny that you and I are talking about this, because the other day I got a call from Colin Campbell, and we were talking about different scenarios in the league. I just love talking hockey with Coley. We coached against each other. We've known each other a very long time. We grew up with pretty much the same kind of disciples. He with Roger Nielsen, me with Scotty, or in terms of mentorship, we were disciples of those guys. And then they were very similar, Roger and Scotty. And we're talking about the great defensemen that have the ability to make plays in the game. One of the guys we talked about was Subban, and I said, you know what, Coley, it kind of reminds me of your 94 team when you had Zuboff and Leach. I said, they got Markov and Subban. And he said, you know, that's true. And that's what we talked about. I mean, just little things like that. But, again, I was coaching in the league, and I remember how hard it was to defend against the Rangers' power play because of Messier, obviously, and Amonte in the earlier year, the President's Trophy year. But Graves in particular with the slot area presence and Zuboff and Leach in the back end. I think Canadians have that kind of a tandem with Markov and Subban.
Yeah, fans, younger fans may not be aware, or older fans may have forgotten what an incredible year Sergei Zuboff had that year for the Rangers when they won the Cup. Incredible.
He was a leading scorer in the regular season.
There you go.
For the Rangers.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mitch.
Pierre, how do things change when, as a team, you start 9-0 and you know now that every team that plays against you is aware of your record, they're aware of your tendencies, and they're coming at you with their best?
Well, this is where the leadership's going to kick in, and it's not so much for Michel Therrien. This is where Max Warren is striped as a captain. This is where young Gallagher. Now, this will show you. I really believe this. And we felt this way. And, again, I'll compare it to our good Pittsburgh teams because they won. They won Stanley Cups. This is where when we would come back to Montreal or we would go to Quebec or we would go to Toronto. So in Toronto it was for Paul Coffey or Larry Murphy. We'd come to Montreal or Quebec. It was for Mario and Jill Milosh, who was one of our coaches. But this is where you want to step up for guys. When you know you have a good team, you want to step up for guys that are from there. And with Brendan Gallagher in particular, I think he's an extremely well-liked person on that team, and I'm sure they're not going to want to lay an egg in Vancouver, and they're going to want to step up just to respect a guy like that on their team. So this is where the leadership comes in. It's not going to happen in every city, but this is what one of the things you try to accomplish over a long season.
Not yet. We're not there yet. Not our best effort tonight. But like I said, at the end of the day, good teams find ways to win. It was a grind out there. We got contributions from everybody again, and we're managing to keep this thing rolling.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of things have gone right. We've gotten the right bounce at the right time. Guys have been working as a unit, and we're just playing pretty solid hockey right now.
Dale Weiss and Carey Price on the 9-0 record, and you know you could throw in Carey Price's
From Anaheim Lake, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, so he'll be
and starting. We remember when he melted down there a few years ago, too, don't we?
Oh, it was embarrassing. Yeah. His first game back home was, I think he was six. Was it six zip or something?
Yeah, it was a meltdown. But, no, you're right. I could have thrown him in, but I just brought Gallagher up from the night before because of the goal. But, no, you're absolutely right. You can throw him right into the equation. Great point.
All right, so you were talking to Colin Campbell when, Pierre? I'm just curious.
Last week,
last
Friday.
Week. Okay. So it wasn't as a result of the goal that wasn't allowed against the
Kings
yesterday.
No. You're talking about the Jonathan Quick play last night?
Yes.
Yeah, no. I mean, no, we weren't. No, that was last Friday. We were actually talking about different things around the league and players and going back to when we were working and everything else. So,
okay, so let me get to that.
Shot, redirected through the wicket, some quick but wide. Hull's got it back, left corner shot, redirected. Backhander, McDavid, stopped by Jonathan Quick.
Unbelievable. What a save. What a save by Quick. That is off the charts.
That is off the charts, man. It was a goal, Pierre.
I never saw across the line, but common sense would tell me that puck was across the line. Now, Rob Martel was the official. If you watch him, he has really good positioning, and he was very effusive in his call. He was strong on it, really strong on it. But you never see the puck across the line, at least from the angles I saw you didn't. Now, I would say this. They have to come up with a way that's better. So I don't know if it's cameras in the nets. I don't know. And I'm talking about cameras in the goalposts or the crossbar. But there needs to be a better way. There has to be. And I'm sure they'll find it. I thought it was a goal as well.
How about it? Well, of course it's a goal. I mean, that's the term that you just use is not applied. They don't apply common sense because they're stuck to this. I understand. They're stuck to this notion. And right. We talked about this before, and you're going to freeze a frame, and you're going to blow it up. And when you blow it up, there's some bleeding of colors. And so you can't really tell. So yeah. just go with your gut when you see it, when you finally, there's an illusion. There's this, what is it called, parallax view illusion? The puck was over the line. The glove was over the line. It's a goal. How about chips in the puck?
I don't like that idea, number one, because it would cost $250 a puck, number one. Number two, I think it messes with the integrity of the rubber. That's the one complaint I heard from people that were involved in the game when Fox had the rights, and remember they would give you the glowing puck?
Oh, yeah, of course.
That because of the chip, and they say there was a huge amount of structural integrity from the puck that was lost, and they would all respond differently. They didn't feel that the puck was as alive as the regular puck. So I'm not sure I want to go. Maybe technology's better, but I'm not sure I want to mess with the integrity of a puck.
With Pierre McGuire normally with us at 5:05, a little bit of a flight delay today. Pierre will be back at 5:05 for the St. Louis-Tampa tomorrow night. I mentioned several injuries. How about Jaden Schwartz when we got off the air over the weekend? Yeah. Like, this is serious stuff for Jaden Schwartz.
Oh, for sure it is. It's serious stuff for the St. Louis Blues, too. I mean, the first game they had a chance to play without him, they lost to the Islanders. Now, that being said, is Michael Grabowski with an overtime winner, so at least they got a point. But I can't wait to get to the rink tomorrow and talk to Kirk Muller and talk to Ken Hitchcock and talk to David Backes. And, you know, you look at it, no Berglund, no Stastny, no Shattenkirk, no Schwartz. I mean, this T.J. Oshie's gone. He was traded for Troy Brouwer. This is not a good situation for a team that had huge expectation on them. Now, they were playing well. Montreal kind of derailed them a little bit at the tail end of a road trip last week. But no, this is not good news for the St. Louis Blues. Not good news at all.
Buffalo Sabres, Vander Kane out 4 to 6 weeks, an injury to his left knee.
That's, now, obviously, the Sabres, as you said, one of the lesser lights in the league right now. I thought that was actually a good, hard, clean hit, didn't you? I didn't think there was anything wrong with the hit when he got run into the boards, but you could see it was obviously a tough blow. I'm a big Evander Kane fan, like him very much as a player. It's unfortunate, really is. It's very unfortunate.
He got hurt by David Schlenko of the
right,
Devils
of
into the boards. And we talked on this in a lighthearted fashion because we didn't know the whole story. John Tortorella's first game as coach of Columbus, he clearly limited Ryan Johansson's ice time in the third period. Larry Brooks suggesting that he was out of shape. Turns out he was hospitalized in the offseason for a heart issue.
Correct.
Columbus is saying today there's something wrong with him, but it's not the heart. This is all of a sudden, this is disturbing.
He was sent home from Colorado. He didn't even stay in Colorado with the team. He flew there, and then he was sent home to Columbus. I don't know if that's been reported or not. But no, that's obviously not good news. And you, again, anybody who's listening to the show for any amount of time knows what I think of Ryan Johansson before he was even a big name in this league. I saw him playing a major junior in Portland, and dominant player, has a chance to be a superstar, tremendous superstar. This is really tough stuff.
Yeah, his agent's saying it's nothing with his heart. He's just not feeling well. We're trying to figure out why. There's no alarm here. We want to do the right thing and make sure he's 100% when he's on the ice.
Well, I think that's great. I mean, I love to hear those kinds of stories. You know, we hear too many where people say, oh, they rushed the player back, or the player wasn't right, but the doctor gave him clearance anyways. We don't want to hear that kind of stuff anymore. It's just not the way it should be.
And Mike Green is out 2 to 3 weeks with an upper body injury. This is amazing as we list these guys for a year and 3 weeks now, or 2 weeks. The Montreal Canadiens have been unbelievably healthy.
Oh, it's early in the year, but no, there'll be a little bit of an injury situation for every team in the league. For Detroit and Mike, I don't know the exact extent of the injury because I haven't talked to them in a while, the Red Wings, because they were out on the road and I was traveling as well. But Mike is starting to find his way, was starting to find his way there. He had kind of a sluggish start in Detroit, but was starting to find his way.
All right. A couple of games tonight, including Arizona and Toronto, and you know what the focus is in Toronto, Max Domi.
Domi and Duclair, well, both guys going back to the World Junior. All they need is Sammy Reinhart. They'd have an amazing line from the World Junior last year. Arizona has done some damage here in the East. They've done some damage. And whether it was in New York or whether it was in Ottawa the other night, you know, whether it's Michael Bodker or Anthony Duclair or Max Domi, it's just amazing the damage that they've done, and part of it is because of Dave Tippett. This will be a really good coaching matchup tonight. Two guys from Saskatchewan, Tippett and obviously Mike Babcock. So it'll be interesting to watch.
And Anaheim in Chicago. Is there an explosion coming? Like, it's hard to imagine any team coached by Bruce Boudreau would have this much trouble putting the puck in the net.
Niche. 15 shots on goal against Minnesota in a 3-0 loss the other night. 15 shots on goal. That is not good enough. I know Minnesota is one of the better defensive teams, and they are. They really are one of the better defensive cores in the league. But when you're only, and you're a team that's angry and you want to win, you've got to hit more than 15 shots. On average, this is, again, just numbers thrown out there. Usually you score every, they have one goal on every 10 shots. That's usually what it is. If you only get 15 shots on net, you're probably only scoring one goal in a game if you're lucky. They got none. So I don't know what's going on there, but I'll be watching that game tonight, obviously. I've got Chicago, believe it or not, next week in Chicago against St. Louis, but that'll be a game that's a must-watch game because I think if they were to get blown out tonight in Chicago, I think there could be some mayhem around their roster. I really do.
Oof, the Ducks, 6 goals in 7 games. Last year in their first 7 games, Corey Perry alone had 8 goals.
That's amazing. That is a great stat. That's outstanding.
And Carey Price on returning to BC, courtesy of the Canadiens website. It's always nice to come home. I always miss the smell of the mountains.
We have mountains in Quebec.
Yeah, true enough. But I don't think he gets up there. He's on the other. He's on the South Shore. He doesn't go up there too often.
No, you know what?
You got to invite him. You got to invite him to your neighborhood.
We have hills. They have mountains. How's that?
Enjoy the night, Pierre. Thanks for checking in. We'll do it tomorrow at 5:05.
That's where I'm going in St. Louis, Mitch, for hockey and dinner.
Mike Shannon's.
Correct. You're so wise.
Say hello from Montreal.
I will do that. Thanks a lot. Have a great night, everybody.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.